Well, joining us now to talk more about this is Senator Tim Kaine, a Democrat from Virginia. Senator, welcome back.
Jeremy, great to be with you. Thanks.
Do you think that there is any possibility that there will be some kind of gun control passing through Congress following this attack if it didn't happen after Virginia Tech or Newtown or San Bernardino or any of the other mass shootings that there have been?
You know, Jeremy, it is the case that we've had such a hard time doing this, but I'm not giving up because we've seen states enact background check measures and other common sense reforms in the aftermath of some of these tragedies. We've seen an American public that is overwhelmingly supportive. Thus far, Congress hasn't listened, but I'm hoping that we will in this case. The shooting, the most horrific, you know, single incidents of gun violence in the history of the United States is about a number of things. I mean, there's an anti-LGBT component to it. Most of the victims were Latinos. The guns that were used were assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. There's a potential connection to ISIL. There's just and maybe a mental health angle as well. There's a lot at stake here, and we should try to do everything we can to learn and improve. But certainly, this is just an additional wake-up call that we need to find solutions to reduce this scourge of gun violence, or we're going to see more and more instances like this. And even in preliminary discussions with colleagues on both sides of the aisle, I detect a little bit of a door opening on this. So we should do all we can and see if we can stop being passive in the face of these horrible crimes.
Well, on the issue of assault weapons, do you think that there would be support to reauthorize the assault weapons ban, which expired more than a decade ago now?
It expired in 2004. I voted to reinstate it in April of 2013, and it only got probably 35 votes. And if you're just asking me as a handicapper now what I would think about it, I would say that the chances of that passing would be slim. I've focused a little more on this issue of the high-capacity magazines. Jeremy, one of the reasons that the assault weapons ban proves difficult is as soon as you define what an assault weapon is statutorily, then gun manufacturers make a modification or two to evade the definition, but the capacity of a magazine is a very much simpler and more straightforward, more enforceable. It looks like the clip that was used in this horrible shooting in Orlando. The guy was using 30-round high-capacity magazines. Usually when these guys are stopped, it's when they're stopping to change out the cartridge. And so if you limit the size of the clips, that's a practical thing you can do that will save lives. And it's also the kind of thing that is much harder to kind of get around and evade than has been shown in the past with the assault weapons ban.
And you expect that Congress will be able to do that in the middle of this election year?
No, you know, it's funny. I would still say that one is tough, but we should do all we can. And it seems like the discussions in the last 2 days have really focused on this issue of the terror watch list and broader background checks. You know, I have a lot of scar tissue on this, and so does my Commonwealth because of the shooting at Virginia Tech in 2007. And what we learned was that there were a lot of things that led to that shooting. There was mental health issues, there was campus security protocol issues, but the deranged young man who was able to purchase the weapons of war that led to these deaths was not eligible to have the weapons because he'd been adjudicated mentally ill and dangerous. But weaknesses in the background record check system enabled him to get weapons he was legally prohibited from having. If you close down the gaps in the background record check system, you make people safer. And there's been great research on this in states. Some states that had background check systems abandoned them and their crime rate got worse, and other states who didn't have the system embraced them and their crime rate got better. But I think the thing that is now getting the most attention in the Senate is this question of who should be on the prohibited list, prohibited from owning weapons as a matter of federal law. There's 9 categories of individuals that have long been prohibited: felons, those under domestic violence protective orders, if you've been adjudicated mentally ill and dangerous. And there's a real move now to add something to that prohibited list for people who are on the terrorism watch list. Now, that only is effective if there's a background record check system that will pick it up. So you need to have a comprehensive background record check system, too. But the sense of if there are going to be prohibited categories of people, those who might be on a terrorism watch list shouldn't be able to get these weapons, that just seems to make common sense to many of us.
Senator Kaine, before I let you go, I've heard your name mentioned as a possible VP candidate this election cycle. Are you being vetted? Do you want to be the vice president?
Jeremy, I'm only playing one role with the Hillary Clinton campaign, and that's doing everything I can to help them win Virginia. Virginia is a state that was pretty irrelevant in presidential politics for a long time and is very relevant now. And so that's the only role I'm playing with the campaign, and I just have this feeling if we can help her win Virginia, she'll be president. So that's my highest and best use, and that's the only role I'm playing.
But if asked, you would accept?
I am just focused on the one thing, and that's all I'm doing, and that's all I'm planning to do.